Father, we just give you this time, Lord. We gather together in your name, and you say where we're at, where we do that, you're in our midst, and we just welcome you in, Lord. And I just pray right now that I be the vessel. That's all I want to be. Let me get out of your way, Lord. I feel like you have a word for all of us, including me. I know this is something you're working in my life, and I just want to share it and be as transparent as possible and just let the seed go forth and let it bring forth fruit. And we give you the glory, Lord, like we were singing. And I just thank you, Lord. The more and more I grow up in you and just fall in love with you more and more. And I just thank you for it. And I just pray that for every one of us here, that we just grow stronger and closer to you as we grow. And thank you, Lord. You are a good God. In Jesus' name. Well, I'm going to start out, and Pastor asked me, and there was something burning. Just not burning. I shouldn't say burning. Something just kind of pecking at me that I wanted to share. And I'm going to start out what happened this Friday. We went to the Rangers game, and we had some cousins come in town, and one of them wanted to go to the Ranger game, and we had tickets, and I had to do some reshuffling, and I had to do some coordinating, and I had my cousins come, and then I had my mother, because it's from my mother's side of the family, and if you've ever met my mother or know my mother, she's not a sports fan, but I thought, hey, I'm doing some game planning and trying to position my pieces to where it's going to be advantageous for everybody. So I felt like I was kind of like Martha. I felt like I was doing a lot for the hopes of it turning out right. So we got there. And my mother, I can already see that we try to get it court, but it was hot. And my mother's not an outside person. She's 70 plus years old. And so I was already focusing on her. I had my cousins over there. I'm worried about them. I want the Rangers to win. I want it to go well for them. And I'm trying to enjoy the game myself. Hey, I paid for these tickets. I don't want to be the host. I want to enjoy it. I want to see them win. And all this is going on. And right behind us is a group of young people. And I found out two things real quick about that group. They like beer, and beer made them cuss. And it was one of those things like eating dinner with a fly. It wasn't just pecking at you, Scott. It wasn't just like sitting on your face. It just like you shoot away and you get a couple of bites and here it comes. And I could see my mother kind of getting upset, and I feel like, oh, I feel obligated to say something. But what am I going to expect to get my response? So I'm just thinking, just go away. I'm not saying them go away. It's just the problem go away because I had enough on my plate. Well, it escalated. It was seventh inning, and they don't serve beer after seventh inning. So this fella behind me had one in his hand and ordered two more. And I'm like, wow. And it's just, it wasn't getting better, Pastor. And the whole time, I'm not thinking of praying. I'm just worried about the inevitable. So anyways, I had my nephew with me there, and we're sitting there, and we feel something hit the back of our legs, and I reach down there, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's beer. That's beer. So anyways, and I'm thinking, okay. And a little bit later, we get a puddle coming in, and the next thing says to me is, you're about to wear that beer. So I think, okay. My mom, you can still, she's, the heat's calmed down, the actual physical heat, but she's kind of stewing up because the language has gotten worse. So I felt, I need to be the guy step forward. So I do the subtle thing. I do the whole turn around and try to catch him in the eye and kind of do him that whole like, really? Come on, we're here, all right? And then I didn't happen. And then I kind of nudged him because they were doing everything but watch the game. And we were winning. And I nudge him back because they're taking pictures. And I'm telling you, we'll watch the game like this. And then I finally said, that's it. I just turn around to the kid, and they're kind of coming and going. I catch this one kid, and I said, hey, can you just settle down? Can you just, I mean, we're here trying to enjoy the game just as much as you are, and I just feel like what's going on back here is going to bleed out and get on us. I'm on the same thing. And he was very apologetic. He was also drunk. He's like, I'm sorry. I said, that's all right. Don't worry about it. Just you keep everything back there and control it. And I thought, man, all right, let's move on. Well, he kept going, I'm sorry. I'm like, dude, it's all right. Don't worry about it. Well, I wasn't reciprocating his sincerity. And so when I wasn't doing that, he says, well, I guess next time you need to get better seats. And then the devil got a hold of me, and I said, brother, I paid for these seats. I'm not sure you paid for yours, but I paid for these seats. So y'all be surprised, and you have to understand my intent. there's people all around us. It's the Rangers, and it's packed, and it's Friday. So I just, at that point, I just stand up and look at them, and I'm not doing this in the carnal way. I'm just saying, how about you and I get up and let's go step out? What I'm trying to do is take the problem and get it away from my family, trying to not be a scene. Well, I don't think he could stand up. I don't even understand if he understood the words I was saying. But he just didn't, so I had to go, longer story short, he was escorted out and everything, and I'm just sitting there, and you know, it's just kind of just, the fly landed in your mashed potatoes. That's what it ended up, and I just can't get past it. And at that point, the Holy Ghost starts talking to me. And guess what he says, Scott? You think that guy might run into another fellow that might know about me? And I'm not saying that I should have just spun around there and just started quoting scripture at him. But the conviction hit me. I was worried about everything else. And what was probably the thing about Mary was the needful thing, I blew right past. And I was trying to defend myself. Lord, come on, this is a Ranger game. Why are you doing this in such an awkward, why can't I be ready for this? Why does it have to happen when I've got other things I'm really, and they're important things. I'm trying to do the right thing, and I'm not dog cussing him back. I'm just saying, hey, dude, calm down. Why do we get these things in our lives? And that's where the Lord started talking to me. Encounters at the Ranger game. Do we ever consider that God may orchestrate those moments? Do we ever consider that he might have his hand in that? The loving God, the peaceful God, the kind God, the generous God, the God that just has such a benevolence and a generosity that words can't describe it, likes to see his kids sweat. He does. Watch the Old Testament. Just read through it. Joseph, all he says is, hey, I had a dream. Then out of envy and jealousy, his brothers sell him off into slavery. And just his chronological life up till about when he finally moves up is just one heartbreak after another. God was in it. Did he have to go that route? Could it have been some other way? Could it have been just a little bit less severe? Moses. He puts up with a malcontented group for 40 years, and then he gets aced out of it because he strikes the rock. And I read that again in Deuteronomy, and he actually goes back to God and says, please. And God tells him, no, and I'm done talking about it. That's the words that I read. I'm done talking about this, Moses. How about Daniel doing the same thing all the time? Because of men conspiring for evil, persuade the king to make a rule, and because of his commitment to the Lord, he gets caught in a bad spot and gets thrown into the den. Job. That's the worst. Job is minding his own business, and he just becomes a third party between a conversation between Satan and God, and God just kind of, boom, under the bus. Have you considered my servant Job? Truthfully, that's the way it goes. Why does a benevolent God seem that it's necessary for him to do that to his loving children? Why does he seem that be necessary? Well, some will say that's the Old Testament. We got grace and we got mercy now. If I counted correctly, there was 11 disciples, actually 12 and a couple of other ones, and only one of them wasn't martyred. He was sent to an island, imprisoned. Paul suffered the same death. Barnabas, other apostles did. They all suffered it. And why do we look at that and think that that's just God's divine plan and that's just the way it is? Like I said, I wrote in Acts 9:6, Ananias was talking to the Lord, and the Lord tells him, Ananias, go tell him. Go tell Saul that I have a plan for him. And Ananias was saying, wait a minute, Lord. That's the guy that's been whooping on us. You want me to go talk to him? He goes, yeah, I got plans. He's my vessel. I got plans for him. And I want you to tell him. This is the Lord telling Ananias what he wants him to tell to Saul. Tell him all the things that he's going to suffer in my name's sake. Suffer? You want me to rile this guy up? That's the way the Lord is it. Now, Jesus even says, will be persecuted for his name's sake. That's Jesus. So you get the theme here, right? Why do you think that this is? I want to answer with an observation. How many of us have been in a position where we are over children, either as parents or teachers or guardians? How many? You can raise your hand, I think it's safe. Okay. Question. Would you agree or disagree the best way to strengthen and develop a character in that child is through adversity? We'd agree, wouldn't we? The best way for that child to mature and be strengthened, for his character to be tempered, is for him to suffer some lumps. Now, we don't just go pitch him out on the street. But what's the dad say? Rub some dirt on it and let's get and move on. Let's move on. Come on. I wrote this as, if something is of value, it should cost you something. It should cost you something. If you see the suffering that those men did, it cost them. But look at the legacy each one of the examples we gave has to represent today. It costs you something if it has value. Simple. Simple economics. God set these obstacles in our path, expecting us to overcome. Now let's consider how to react to these obstacles. I have four personality traits. Some of y'all are going to enjoy this. Some of y'all are going to identify them real well with them. But some four personality traits that we as Christians sometimes take and these obstacles come at us. The first one is Eeyore. Who all knows who Eeyore is? Winnie the Pooh. Eeyore. Okay. Yeah. Teresa. Yeah. Eeyore. That's right. You know who Eeyore is, don't you? Sarah. Eeyore is that little donkey off of Winnie the Pooh that he is just not happy. Why always me? Why me? Christians have that. They just want it off. Get it off. Why me? Why am I all these guys? Charlie Brown, why? I got a rock. They don't see any value. They just think it's bad luck. And why am I always the one getting the bad luck? They just want it to pass. Just get it passed and let's move on. Next one is a foxhole. I use this at work with all the guys because if you've ever been on a job site, superintendents love shooting at people. I mean, not literally, but they're looking for a head to put in a noose. So I tell my guys, you're in a foxhole. Do everything right. Get everything taken care of, and they don't see you. They shoot for somebody else that has their head up. A lot of Christians do this way. I thought this way. Do it right. Take care of your business. Understand that there are promises in the Bible. They are there. I'm not contradicting promises and blessings. And we should latch on to that. That's God's goodness to us. But people say, hey, I'm going to get there. I'm going to do that. And then I don't really have to worry about any hardship. And I was there at one time, and I was just like this. It's been too good for so long. I don't want it coming. I just know it's coming. But in the foxhole, you just want to do everything. And there's a danger in that. There's a pitfall of that. That mindset of, I'm going to do everything right, I'm going to do the things I'm supposed to do and not do the things I'm not supposed to do, gets to work into a works mentality. And then you have two separate issues. The next one, guys are going to identify with this. This is straight for the Lord. I'm telling you guys, I'm sitting there just... tools on the garage peg wall mentality. Anybody know where I'm going with this? You will. Well, you don't. No, you don't. You will, because you. Okay. In your garage, and I have this in my garage, you got a pegboard. Everybody know what the pegboard is at Home Depot and you have stuff? And they got all their tools spread up there. And the real creative guys have gone ahead and traced around their tools with a silhouette. And then when they pull it, they painted it. So when that tool's gone, there's a silhouette there, and they're like, all right, nobody move. I'm missing a tool. Okay. Ironically, when you see those guys that are like that, their tools are pretty.
Their tools are nice. They don't have any, well, they do have dust, but they clean it off. But those tools, all they do is hang on a pegboard. They don't go anywhere. They don't do anything. They just sit there. Christians are like that. They just let the, they have all the understanding. I can think in my head, and God forgive me, I can think of people there. I'm going to prayer meeting. I'm going to prayer meeting. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to do all, I'm going to have all the knowledge, but no application. I can tell you how to do it, but don't ask me how to do it, because I ain't touching that. You know what they are? They're afraid. They're afraid. What are they afraid of? Just like anybody else. They're afraid to get dirty. Just like Friday night. I don't want to get dirty. I just want to enjoy my game and you settle down. I don't want to expend any other energy. I got my agenda and I'm going to take care of it. I don't want to get dirty. What else are they afraid of? Making a mistake. Can I jump off on this real quick? This is a real quick story. My brother Richard, he likes to sit back. I'll be back. Don't ask me to pray. Don't ask me to pray. He makes it a joke, but I mean, he got into the game not too long ago. He was trying to do it. And there was a guy coming down the street that lived on the street, and he noticed this guy just didn't have very good countenance. He just was kind of melancholy looking or sad or whatever. And he just felt like the Lord was impressing him to go ahead and talk to this guy. And Richard, he knows no stranger. He'll talk to him. He started talking to him and sharing with him. And this guy, come to find out, he's just going through a hard time in his life. So Richard says, "Hey, man, you want me to pray for you?" And at that point, Richard says, the guy just starts breaking down crying. And I mean, everything but the cherubims have shown up. So Richard's like, I can't screw this up. He just starts praying, just calling down God. Lord, help Peter and meet him where he's at, Lord. Just Peter needs you to intervene on his behalf, and you're going to do that for Peter because you love him. And about this time when he's just pulling down heaven, Peter, he raises up and tells Richard, "My name's Mike." And you talk about just sucking the wind out of yourselves. What it did for me, and I'm his brother, I'm in his corner, but what it did for me and what it told me, I mean, almost brought tears to my eyes. It's like, Richard, you are in the game. Who cares? Who cares if you got his name wrong? That, put it up to God. He knows who he is. That's all that matters. But they're afraid. The guys with the tools on the wall, they're afraid to break their perfect record. They do not want any marks in the lost column. What they don't realize is you don't have any marks in the win column either. The fourth guy. Some of you a little bit older, young guys may not know it. You need to go find these out if you can get to them. The fourth personality trait is the dog from the Warner Brothers cartoon. The dog. After Bugs Bunny. And I don't know if you can forgive me if you're not up to it, but some of the older ones will understand that. He's almost on top of Bugs Bunny. And Bugs Bunny's five steps ahead of him, but you think he's got him? I dare. And then here's Bugs Bunny out of his pockets. Well, how rabbits have pockets, I don't know. He's got a ball. And the dog is about to just unleash on Bugs Bunny. And what happens? The ball just grabs its attention. He's like, and he throws it, and there goes the dog. Completely loses focus. Completely. Their perspective is here. Their peripheral is like this. They're in a tunnel and can't see 2 feet in front of their face. They can't. I identified with him Friday night. I was the dog Friday night. I could not see anything other than my own agenda. And what I did not is allow the Lord to talk to me and give him the opportunity to work in that. Now, those are my four. You may identify with one, or you may identify with multiple. You may identify with all of them. Don't worry. We're going to work this out.
What we're going to take him is one by one. How do we correct this? Eeyore, get ready. It's coming, Eeyore. No matter what happens. Psalms 34:19, and my mother-in-law uses, and again, I like using myself as an example because it's easy for me to understand and relate, and I think it's pertinent because I don't think we're much different. We're all in the same family, and we're all pretty much the same spot. But recently in our home, there was an event that happened that I performed again poorly. Okay, and the devil was beating me up, and I knew what was right, and I thought I had the right position. I thought, I got it. I'm following. I'm doing it right. And it was not working for me. And it just went south real quick. And the devil was beating up. He's like, man, you are a failure. You are a failure. I didn't have anywhere to turn. So I was just dragging my head. My mother-in-law comes over, and she's not the typical mother-in-law. She is a good mother-in-law. She says, Robert, I got a scripture for you. Psalms 34:19. You know how that starts? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Thank you, Nana. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. I could have kissed her. It picked my head up. It said, that's what I needed. Eeyore, if you're out there, they're coming. But we win. We win. Not because of what we do, but because of what He does. Not because who we are necessarily, but because of who He is. He does not know how to fail, Pastor, does He? He does not know how to fail. Eeyore, we win. Foxhole. Let's talk to you guys. Foxhole. Foxhole, get out. Get out. There's an episode in one of the movies where a guy just kind of runs. Well, I can't. I love seeing the guy that dares. I just love it. I just love seeing it. I just love it. It just get out there and run. It's inspiring. When you're in your foxhole, get out. You want a scripture? Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, this stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that you may see, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Get out of your foxhole. You're the light. I'm the light. You're the city set on the hill. If you don't do it, God, they say He'll send another. Nobody's taking my job. Nobody should take your job. He needs you where you're at. Can He change it? Can He orchestrate it? Yeah, He's God. He can do whatever He wants. He could snuff us all out too. But if we take the responsibility upon ourselves and understand I have an audience, wherever I go, I have an audience, and they have to see Him through me. Amen. The guy in the garage. Where are you at? The tool man that lets... You know what, tool man? Let's break a sweat. James 1:23-25. Do not merely listen to the words and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, here's the good part, they will be blessed in whatever they do. Like I said, they're afraid to fail. If we have that, I love that about the Lord. Every time I've stepped out in faith, and it's been in faith, where I didn't know exactly what to do, but I took that step and tried, I've never failed. I have never failed. When I leaned on Him, He's shown up. And I did not bring very much to the game. the last guy, to the clueless dog, stop and think about it. Scripture, Haggai 1, 5 through 7. And this is when the children of Israel that were in exile were getting ready to build the temple, and they got motivated, and they started, and then they stopped. And not only did they stop, but then they started building their own stuff. And so the prophet came in and said these words from the Lord. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is no warmth. And ye have earned wages, but put it into a bag that has a hole. Thus says the Lord, consider your ways. God's saying, think. I put that thing between your two ears. You are not a bunch of puppets. Think. Stop for a moment. Again, my example, Friday night. Stop. A good indication is, if you feel your temper rising, stop. Consider your ways. If the environment around you gets unfriendly or uncomfortable, stop. Consider your ways. Give him an opportunity, because the irony of it is typically, I would almost say 100%, in that moment, that's when God's probably trying to do something. Remember all the examples? There's a point, a critical point in there. And if we don't stop and just say, all right, I'm real thick, Lord. Are you trying to say something? Give him a chance. He's faithful. Every time I pray, I start out, I think he makes me. I just say, God, you're faithful. You're faithful. To wrap it up, we're going to end up with Jesus. You know that the Father is no respecter of persons? Jesus encountered obstacles. Satan. You ever been tempted by Satan? People just felt like that was just a preliminary. Okay, let's get temptation out of the way. He was human just like you and me. And the way that Satan tempted it was every aspect to challenge that. He challenged his flesh, but make that stone into bread. And he'd been hungry, been without food for 40 days. You think that I can't go 4 meals without getting hungry, or 4 hours, okay? Okay, challenging his humanity, challenging this. The next part is he takes him to the pinnacle of the temple and he challenges pride. You say you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. Show me. Challenges man's pride. Next one he says is, now I'm going to challenge you on your purpose. You want this. You want all what I have. You're going to take it from me. I know it. I'll give it to you if you just bow down. Trying to give him a way out, trying to give him a shortcut. The temptation of Christ was just not some footnote. Challenging his humanity, and our hero beat him back every time. He had the Pharisees, the guys that were supposed to be on his side, nipping at him the whole way. He had the sick and the demon-possessed just confronting him every moment. Have you ever been trying to do something, Scott, wrapped up in it, and then just got that phone call or that whatever, a guy coming up, and it's just like, can't you see what I'm doing? Can't you see? It happens to me all the time. I don't know if I'm just different than everybody else. Our hero lived every day like that. Every day was like that. 5,000 people he fed because of compassion in himself. His disciples, the ones he picked, getting in his way. You think he had obstacles? The Father was not trying to romanticize Jesus the Messiah's story. He was not trying to make a pretty story. He wasn't trying to get the rights to a movie later on. He wasn't trying to do that. He wasn't trying to entice you. Remember the beginning? He came as a man. He was divine and human. And the Father knew that. And what he did is he tempered
He tempered that humanity. Tempered it. Now, if our Savior has to be tempered, who are we? Who are we? That makes me love him more and more. Because when he left here, he didn't go, glad that's over with. Now I can kick back. What is he doing right now? He's interceding on our behalf. And not only that, I run the scenarios in my head. I kind of get my own little idea what goes on up in heaven. And I get the feeling when he got there, he told the Lord, or told the Father, it's finished. And see them? See that mess down there? I'm going to use them to build my church too. I'm going to use that gangly motley crew and I'm going to make something. So remember, when you have moments that seem like they're just getting in your way, remember. I'm not saying every one of them, but I know this, is if we actually stop to consider, I won't put God in the spot, but I know when my kids approach me, and I may not know what's going on in their life, but if they approach me and they give me the opportunity to interject, I make time. I try to make a lesson. I try to better them. I try to temper them. Pastor, cheers.
Amen. Well, that's just like I told you, it was going to be real. And sometimes, it's when it's real, it's not always easy to hear, but it sure is where we live, isn't it? Amen. And, I really believe that our Christianity, I really believe the truth of God's word is something that's to be lived out. And we can live that out. We can learn and grow. Amen. Well, I believe the Lord is, every one of us identifies with that because every one of us goes through stuff. Amen. Well, stand with me. I just want us to go to the Lord in prayer and just in a personal way. I think it's important when we hear the word that we don't just walk out and forget it. And so in a personal way, I just want you to allow the Holy Spirit to show you how you need to apply the word you heard tonight. And I want to give you opportunity also, if you'd like to have prayer, if you have a special need or maybe something about the message tonight just really ministered to you and spoke to you and you'd like to have somebody pray for you. In fact, I know Robert would be glad to pray for you. I just want to encourage you. As we dismiss tonight, if you want to come up for prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. But before we dismiss, I want us to just take a couple of minutes and just internalize the word we heard tonight and just make sure you get it down in your heart and that you're going to live it out. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. Lord, we receive in Jesus' name. And Father, I just pray that in us, Lord, oh Father, that you will find faithful, Lord, those who are steadfast, Lord, that we're going to continue to grow, we're going to persevere, Lord, we're going to overcome, Lord, by your grace and your strength in us. And Father, I just pray that in the days ahead, Lord, when we have those difficult moments and those divine opportunities, Lord, that we'll be able to see them. Lord, we'll be ready for those times. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that in this body of believers, you're just raising up an army. Lord, I believe that. Lord, you're continuing to do that. Lord, to raise up an army of people that are going to touch the world, going to touch the lives of others. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, that you're preparing us to use us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, greet one another, bless one another as you go, and if you need prayer, you come on up.